Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is brought to you by Kempower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. And StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, and I am joined by my good friend, Imad. How's it going, man?
Good. How's everybody doing out there?
Great.
How are you doing, Jordan?
The team's great. I'm great. We're ramping up as usual. And for those archivists who remember back in the day, me and Imad actually did a huge Out of Spec motoring video in collecting the one of the first EV6s in the country, a Kia EV6. And we did the first documented long distance road trip in a Kia EV6. This was over 2 years ago now, which is crazy because that car still feels new and I still look at double take at everyone I see. And so we drove 1,000 miles through the cold Midwest winter from Wisconsin to Dallas. Maybe it was over 1,000 miles. I mean, it was a long journey that we broke up over 2 days. Yeah. And we've documented that. I mean, we have a video on Aspect Motoring. We've also had, I think, a podcast from earlier on of picking that car up and just like your very initial thoughts. And that video will be linked in the show notes. And it was awesome. But now we are here almost exactly 2 years later, which means you can talk about what it's been like to have a Kia EV6 for 2 years. Now, caveat, you've had how many cars? 43? Like,
no, it's like 30, 30, 28, 29. I don't know.
Okay. You've had a lot of cars. And you've had this for a record of 2 years. Why have you had this for 2 years? Because you never keep anything longer than like 3 months.
Because it is not my main car. Like, it's not my fun car. It's my wife's daily driver. It's my daily driver. And we can dig into that because a lot of people have bought and sold their EV6s in the time that I've had this. So
yeah. So first off, how many miles are on it now?
We are right at 29,000.
Okay. So it's not crazy high. And in, I guess, 2 years and that many miles, have you had any major issues? That's usually first question.
Yeah, no. I've documented some of them. I think some of the issues were just with the audio system going out, the amp blows out. Yeah. They kind of took care of that. There was a TSB or whatever you want to call it on that. They fixed that issue and doesn't seem to be a problem now. People are still dealing with it because they haven't replaced it the first time, but after that there's been no issues. And then in the last 6 months or so, and this is happening a lot now, is a 12 volt battery issue. And yeah, I think I don't know if this is affecting all EGMPs. I'm not on any Ioniq 5 forums. I imagine they use very similar parts, but the EV6 is being plagued with 12 volt batteries going out. And then there's an ICCU problem as well, which is more serious than the 12 volt battery, but we can dig into those and how obnoxious those two issues are later on.
Yeah. I've heard that with the EV9s as well, because now the EV9s are entering the
market. They didn't fix it, huh? Okay.
Which throws, you know, it throws me back into memory lane of when the EV6 was entering the market, and this was just such a big deal. And now we're used to EGMP cars. There's quite a few out there. A lot of EV6s have been sold. I'm starting to see them almost daily, and they still look fantastic. Yeah. And I guess I should mention, like, if anyone hasn't seen it before, Imad's was actually like a SEMA build EV6, and so it looks pretty cool, like far better than most of them. I think they all look fine, but like,
yeah,
you basically took it and you e-modified it, as we call it, and you know, throw in some arrows, some wheels, fix the fitment. Like,
this was definitely a bit more than e-modified. This was MNS coming in and putting some quality parts on there, not just universal stuff that are easily tried. Yeah, and caveat. I caveat my eBay purchases by the fact that I buy these cars that have no aftermarket support, and I make my own aftermarket support out of eBay parts. So that's why I buy eBay parts.
Or in this case, you buy a car with no aftermarket support and help there become more aftermarket support. I wanted to ask, like, how has that been? We've seen Teslas for over a decade now, which means aftermarket is substantially larger with Teslas than probably a lot of other EVs. Mm-hmm. But how have you seen the aftermarket grow over the last couple of years?
So there's been a lot. So the forums, there's two big Facebook groups. There's one that I started. It's a little bit smaller. And then there's a big one that has like 17,000 people in it, EV6 US forum. And I've been keeping track of kind of like what the trend's been. And I think initially a lot of the stuff was replace the wheels. Wheels was like, yeah, it's an easy thing to do, right? And there's a lot of good choices, and I've seen some really poor choices, obviously, in my opinion. Wheels has been a big one. And then there's, you know, companies like Adro. Adro is a big brand. They make some really cool aero for Beamers and things like that. And I believe they're a Korean company also, along with MNS, who I worked with. And they made a lip kit for the GT and the GT line, but not for the Wind or something. So that was part of the problem, is the car itself is fragmented into three trims, and one front lip doesn't work on all of them. So now there's companies that are like, we might not sell a lot of these, but which one do we want to support and put the R&D into? And I think that's part of the problem, and because they have different fronts and different rears. So, but I have seen a lot of GT lines buy the Adro lips, but then there's also a couple companies that have made, I don't want to say knockoffs, but cheaper versions of what's out there, or even more like they look universal, but they're actually designed for the EV6. So you can actually buy some of these things on eBay now, but it's mostly a front lip, a spoiler, which I actually have on mine, spoiler extension, and then like a rear lip and side skirts, but it's very basic stuff. So in all honesty, it didn't take off the way I thought it would. But I also think we talked about this, I think, when you interviewed me and my wife a while ago. We talked about the fact that when I entered this market with the EV6, I thought all these tuners were going to jump to buying the EV6. And I very quickly found out that it's not really tuners that are buying the EV6, at least not right now. I think it was like 50K, 60K. It was too much money at the time for just any tuner to just jump into. But I think it'll pick up. The bumpers are changing. There's supposed to be a facelift coming up, so I don't know how that all is going to pan out. But now that you can buy these for like 35-36K, maybe
you'll see more. Yeah, maybe more people will be like, because it's still fun. It's quick enough. I mean, it's not like EV6 GT quick. Which I'm curious if you would ever consider upgrading to that, or if you're like pretty happy with how it is.
Yeah, so I'm making my two-year video right now for my channel, and this is one of the biggest topics I'm covering, because initially I was like, oh, I'm going to get the GT when it comes out. I'm going to get it. The problem with the GT coming out is right when they announced the IONIQ 5N, and when the IONIQ 5N was announced, I was like, okay, now I kind of want to hold off on that, because there's, A, I like the look. I like the, it's like, it feels like a step up versus, and I'm going to say this, the EV6 GT is like, just a GT trim of the EV6. It's a more powerful trim with a few cool things like rear-wheel drive capability, drift mode, whereas the IONIQ 5N is like a reimagination of performance EVs, and I think that's going to be the first implementation. So that's kind of where I'm like, and I don't know when if I'm ever going to get the IONIQ 5N. The markups are going to be insane. It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the GT, I think to answer the more consumer-friendly question, the short answer is no. And the reason for that is because of the range and the people are going to laugh at this one, is ventilated seats.
That's a big deal.
It is. I live in Texas and we daily drive the EV6, and going from having ventilated seats to not having it and losing range in the meantime, it's a hard sell for my wife who mostly drives the car. Now, if it were up to me, I probably would have made the swap already, because, and the other caveat was pricing. It was just, I couldn't justify 60, 70K, you know, 65, 70K for a car that had less range than what I have now, because it wasn't like my, I don't track this car. I don't need 500 horsepower. I want 500 horsepower, but I don't need it. So now that you can get them for like 49, 48, it's a little bit more appealing, but I cannot get my wife to be like, why would we do that? And get the almost exact same car with slight different things. And I don't have power seats. Like we have different memory seats. Like she sits very differently than I do.
Yeah.
And I do not want to be getting in that car nonstop changing seats because it's manual seats. So.
Especially when you're sharing a daily driver. It is funny. You have three cars, but you both basically share one car, and then you have these other two random ones that just, I mean, so sure what's, and I guess maybe you can speak for her a little bit here, but like, what's she think also after 2 years?
So we had this discussion pretty often too. She still really likes the car. She's oblivious to all the issues that these cars have, like the 12 volt battery. She has no idea that's an issue. She just lets me deal with it and complain about it. So for her, it's the perfect car. Now the suspension is starting to wear out a little bit because I've been lowered for almost 2 years and it's getting a little rough. And she's like, can we do something about the suspension? So I'm at a crossroads where I want to keep the springs, or do I switch to coilovers and just, or do I keep the stock springs and just get new suspension? The problem, this goes back to your aftermarket question, Beckett. there just seems to be very little suspension support for the EV6. There's a couple Chinese brands that released coilovers. Haven't heard the best things about them. There's a Korean company called Neotech that's released pricier coilovers, almost KW level. Not many people have gotten them because they're a little bit pricier, and I just don't see that crowd kind of jumping into that yet. I've had my eyes on those, but it's a pretty big gamble because it's like a $2,700 gamble. Or should I just replace the struts? Because I feel like that's what the issue is. The struts are just getting worn out, and just go back to how it felt when I first lowered it, which was fine at the time. So,
Do you know how much struts are for this? Like, have you seen any wear items yet?
I mean, you can buy them on like any of those like KiaParts.com and things. I think they're like 110. I think it's like $400 or $500 for all four from what I remember looking. So it's not anything special. I just wish, like, I'm just waiting for Bilstein to just be randomly like, hey, we released something for the Ioniq 5 EV6. I literally like search all the time. I'm like, maybe one day we'll get some good aftermarket suspension.
So how is the, you know, you guys live in the Dallas, the DFW area, which is huge. How has the range been with this car? Because when you first got it, I remember you had some comments of like, I don't know if this is like enough range per se, but now you've basically have done mostly city driving. I mean, it's a big city, so that's a big thing to mention there. You haven't done many road trips per se, but as far as the city in DFW, is it great?
Or does it's awesome. Like, because when we, going back to the question that you asked about what does my wife think, one of the things that we've been considering is like finding a three-row SUV. And it's not because we have a bigger family all of a sudden, but our extended family has grown in the last couple of years. We have nieces and nephews now that we didn't have 2 years ago. And we spend a lot of time with our families and we go places, and we're always taking two cars, mostly because of one extra seat that's needed. So we were like, maybe we should pull the trigger on a three-row SUV. EV9 is out of my price point. I can't justify that. Plus I know it's going to tank in value at some point and then I'll buy it. So we were like, okay, maybe like an Explorer SC. She's like, but I don't want to get gas anymore. Like, I don't want to go back to getting gas. The highlight of it is 2 years, and I think we've spent like $50 on maintenance. I mean, outside of wear and tear items like tires, we've been to the dealership twice in 2 years. It's so amazing. Like, I don't want to go back to, like, even with my Mercedes, I've already had my Mercedes in the shop twice and I've had it for 4 months, and I worry about every noise that I hear. And I'm like,
For a while, you had two Audi S4s. I mean, that's a nightmare in and of itself.
I don't know if the Mercedes is any better, but around the city, like, I don't think we could go back to ice. I like ice. I obviously love ice. I love zooming around with it. I don't think we need three ice cars. I think we are good with two ice cars and one EV. And in all honesty, most of the time we end up driving the EV6. Now I work from home. We both work from home, so we don't have a long commute every day. Every now and then I'll drive to my office, which is far away. But we've gotten really good at, oh, the car's going to hit 20, 30%. Let's just charge it. We usually keep it around 80, 90%. And it's always just ready to go. And
nice.
We just charge it every night, whenever we need to, I should say. And we have a free night's electric plan. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. So let's jump into charging really quick, because this incentivized you to install a home charger. So I want to ask how that's been, but also how has any public charging been that you've had to do, or why did you have to do public charging if you did any?
Yeah. The home charger, when I first installed it, it was the wall box, and the wall box has been fine. Like, I've had no issues, but I found myself never using the smart features of a smart wall charger. Now there's people that monitor everything. I've seen posts about, like, look how much I used last month, my usages, and I just never did it. So I was fortunate enough to also, through my YouTube channel, get some affiliate programs. So I actually tried out a few different chargers, and the one I ended up just kind of using all the time is the Electron one. And the Electron's not a smart one, but it has a display that shows me how the amps, like, it's running through, and my wall box just doesn't do that. They're both still plugged into my garage. I can pick whichever one I want, but I end up using my wall box all the time. Sorry, I end up using my Electron all the time. And it's been, I've had zero issues with it. Just works, no issues. And then public charging, I think I publicly charged mostly just to make videos. like, I had some stuff I was doing for a Tesla CCS adapter. So I was finding Tesla destination chargers and testing those out, and they were fine. I had an issue with one of the chargers from Electron, but they fixed it. And then the only other time I think I've publicly charged is recently. I went and drove all the way out to Fort Worth, and I could have made it home, but I have 3 years of Electrify America that I've used. Like, so I have 1,000 kilowatts that they gave me with the car. I've used like 200 of them. And I'm like, okay, I got to start using this, but there's not many. My biggest gripe with DFW is, for a big city, there's only 4 EAs out here.
And they're rarely
they're like the outer corners.
Yeah, they're like, as you enter the city, before you even get into the city, that's where they are, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, so that's why I haven't really used any. I haven't really needed it, but then also I'm like, I just, anytime I'm close to an Electrify, I'm like, I should top off, because I've got this credit that's going to expire in like a year and a half, or a year actually.
Less than a year left. Wow.
Yeah. So I got to use like 700 something kilowatts from Electrify America.
But you haven't done any road trips besides the one where we collected the car?
I did Houston. I mean, I did Houston, and then the car was, it was on a trailer to SEMA, and then back, and then back from Houston, did a trip to Oklahoma City. I haven't done anything longer than 4 hours.
Okay.
And I've done that twice, and my experience was fine. Like, there's a couple EAs on the way to Houston, and I've never had any issues with it. I haven't really used the Tesla network. I know some Tesla now have the CCS adapters,
the
Magic Dock, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But I just haven't needed it, and that's kind of why we bought an EV. The one thing I will say is, my wife and I had this conversation, like, do we need this expensive an EV if we're just driving around town? Like, could we get like a, I hate to say it, you know, like a, I'm not going to buy the Soul, but like the Soul EV or something that's about half the payment that we're making right now. Right. But then I'm like, but this is still fun and it's cool. So I think we're fine where we are. We're not hurting yet.
You can get cheaper, but then you're sacrificing some things. I feel like you're kind of in that echelon of like, fantastic car without jumping to the really expensive ones.
Yeah,
but you know, EV prices have seemed to like plummet a lot lately, and I'm wondering like how your guys' response to that has been. I mean, are you like, oh my gosh, this thing we own is tanking, or did you have it for so long that you're like not realizing that as much?
Oh no, I realize it. I look at it because I'm always thinking about trading my car in all the time. I'm always like, what's gonna be next? My wife had, when we started talking about like, should we buy a 3-row, she was like, well, what do we owe? What is it worth? And I was like, you sure you want to know? Now, the good news is, when I bought it MSRP, a lot of people didn't. and because the hype was big, and I got a really low interest rate. This was a while ago. And then I also had a trade-in. So like, I actually didn't owe a lot. I mean, I owe a lot, but like, I didn't owe as much. I maybe owed like 70% of the value of the car. So it's kind of even right now. Like, I think the trade-in is right where my payoff is, maybe a couple thousand more that I would make if I'm lucky. Now, I've noticed that any EV6 over like 30,000 miles tanks even more in value. I don't know why. I've been checking Auto Trader, and I feel like ones with over 30K are like $4,000 or $5,000 cheaper than the ones under 30K. And I'm right on that threshold right now. But we made a decision. We're just going to keep it until we really need to get rid of it. Or it really just turns into a pain in the ass. Like if the dealership has it for, like, I've seen people waiting like 3 weeks, 4 weeks for an ICCU part. Sorry, I'd take it to another dealership and trade it in at that point. Like, yeah.
So do you want to talk about that really quick? Like, I'm curious what, you know, you're very integrated into the EV6 crowd now, even like helping with early starts of these Facebook groups that are now a lot of members. I see posts all the time. Your experience has been pretty good. Like you said, very few actual issues, and you were, I guess, ahead of the curve with getting the amp and stuff fixed. But beyond that, now we're looking at 12-volt battery and ECCU. What does that look like, and what have you learned?
I've learned that the dealerships are still completely worthless. It's across the board. There might be one or two people that are like, oh, I got in. They had the part the next day, and I got in within like 3 or 4 days. The number two thing that I keep on seeing, this is the Kia shortcoming. It's still, at the end of the day, a growing brand. It's not a top shelf brand. They don't do loaners most of the time. You don't get dealers that have loaner cars. So you could be out of your car for 3-4 weeks and then hope that Kia gives you a reimbursement. I constantly read that you have to open cases with Kia corporate, which I had to do when I was trying to get my amp done. I was like, look, we all know what the issue is. The dealership doesn't want to diagnose it because they're waiting for your techs. That's the same thing that I'm saying with the 12 volt battery. They know what the issue is, but they're just waiting for Kia to approve it so they can do it. But I've also read a lot of people saying, oh, it's not the 12. We tested the battery. The battery's fine. Sometimes the battery tests fine, but it just dies constantly because I don't know what it is, but there's something about the exchange of how the larger battery is charging the 12 volt, and that 12 volt battery that comes factory is just not strong enough. And
really,
at this like 30,000 2-year mark, I'm seeing so many more failures happening right now. So I feel like it's going to become a TSB at some point.
So it's not a phantom drain issue. It's just an issue with how the two batteries interface.
Yes. I don't know that for a fact, but there was a phantom drain issue about the app or some certain apps constantly connecting to your car and draining the 12 volt battery. I think people are kind of past that. Now these batteries just aren't keeping in touch. So I will give you an example. Yesterday, I was filming my 2-year video, and I was taking some interior B-roll shots. I didn't have the car on. I had the doors open, and of course, a couple lights were on. By the time I closed my door and tried to move my car back into the garage, it was completely dead. Like, my 12-volt battery was dead. And jeez. I had to jump it, and then it's been fine since. But I was just like, are you kidding me right now? So this battery's on its way out. And there's already companies that are marketing aftermarket batteries for the EV6 Ioniq 5. And they're better technology batteries. Now they're $300-$400, but
yeah,
they work. So what people are, and then there's all these rumors that I read online. If you replace the battery, a 12 volt battery, it voids your car's warranty. That's what dealers are telling people. And it's just like, does it though? Because like, batteries go out. It's a consumable
item. It's a wear item. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting.
So the dealership experience, the what?
ECCU, is that similar dealership
problem? I think it's the ICCU. Yeah, it's ICCU. It's something to do with, it's a part like somewhere in the charging function of the car, and it basically gets toast. It toasts, and then you can't charge your car. It literally just won't charge. So
wow.
It's the same thing. Like, it's you have to get it towed to the dealership, and then they take their sweet time to diagnose it, even though it's all over the place that this is what the issue is. But people are, and then I think the diagnosis is getting faster, but parts availability is not any faster. So I'm seeing some people luck out and they just happen to have the part within a week. But most people are waiting like 3 to 5 weeks for this part to show up so they can replace it. And then the other thing that I've been reading recently is people just trying to get into service. to Kia is like 2-3 weeks out. So I was just reading on the forums right now, this guy, I think he lives in Chicago, and his heater stopped working and his ICCU stopped working. He can't even really drive his car, and he's stuck in the middle of the winter in Chicago with a bunch of issues. So it's just the urgency just doesn't seem, the dealership model is still very flawed to me. So,
yep. Wow. Well, that's, yeah, I don't know.
This is going to talk everybody out of getting into V6, but
there's a lot to unpack with the dealer stuff, but I mean, the bottom line seems like you guys are pretty thrilled and it's been relatively flawless, especially when you compare it to the maintenance you would have with a typical internal combustion engine over 2 years would be oil changes, like other fluids, possibly, like who knows what else. And so with this car, you know, with regenerative braking, you're using the brakes less, like a lot of things are, you know, well, on the other hand, you do wear through tires faster, but it's still, it's a relatively effortless car. And you guys are both kind of in the tech industry. And you're like, the comparison a lot of people make is like, oh, it's like charging your phone every night. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, a lot of people make charging a big deal, which is ironic because that home, it's like the least deal ever. In fact, I've spent weeks driving EVs out of spec, and then I'll go back to my gas car and I'm like, oh, I have to go to a gas station? Like, what? I have to like figure out how does my route work with that? Like, it's just, it's like a nuisance at that point. So it's cool to see that you guys have actually genuinely settled in, because I was really curious. I've known you guys for quite a while before the EV6, and I was like, this could go either way. But
yeah,
you seem pretty happy.
So so I think we've embraced it. And although I'm complaining about the ICCU and the battery now, I haven't been hit with either of those issues. The 12 volt was yesterday was the first time I've been hit with that, but it's working right now. I think I would, my message would be a little bit maybe slightly more bitter if I had dealt with ICCU, but honestly, it's just a matter of time because I'm seeing everybody around 30K dealing with it. So knock on wood that I don't, but overall, you're right. Like I have so much less worry. I don't worry about every squeak of a belt. I don't worry about like all the things that you hear in a nice car and you're constantly worried about it. Now, of course, I'm coming from a scarred German car ownership background right now, which has just been a very flawed experience just on my side. But yeah, we love it. And you're right, man. Like the charging thing, anybody who says, oh, you make sure you charge your car, it's like, never in 2 years have I been like, oh no, I forgot to charge my car. It's like, you just see it and you're like, okay, I'm at like 20%. I need to just charge it tonight. And within 6 hours, I'm at 90%. So like, it's like, okay, I'm done. So yeah.
Zero issues. I would be curious to do, you know, another range test or something afterwards, because we actually did a range test with your car actually nearby, like you. It wasn't our like official out of spec one up here, but we've done other EV6s on our official loop. But like, it would be interesting to do the apples to apples comparison of yours then 2 years later after charging. I know it's not a lot of mileage, but it is like people are usually curious, you know, how does charging your battery, you know, especially up to like 80 or 90. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, batteries are happiest between like 20 and 60.
Yeah.
And so it's like even 90 would be considered deep charging by some people. But that being said, manufacturers throw in buffers usually at the top and the bottom, and it's protecting the battery in different ways. And some car manufacturers use less buffer than others, but it's fine. I mean, looking at you, Volvo, but it's pretty cool. I mean, so I wanted to mention, like, a lot of ownership has actually been portrayed on your YouTube channel. So I thought I'd shamelessly plug that, called E-Modifications, which is a great name, including the video you're working on right now, which is 2 years of ownership. So I definitely recommend checking out all that and stay tuned for that video, unless you have it out by the time this goes up. I don't know.
Probably
how
that fluctuation. I've been working on it for like 2 months, so it'll be a while.
That's great. But I think it's, I don't know, any other final thoughts of like what, like big takeaways from 2 years?
No, I think like I'm tired of seeing that article that just keeps on being posted about it costs $15,000 to replace the batteries in your Ioniq 5. Or have you seen that article? Like everybody touts it now. Like anybody who's anti-EV is like, oh, well, good luck saving $15,000 to replace the batteries in 10 years. I was like, in 10 years, I'll worry about that in 10 years. But like,
yeah. I mean, not even 10 years at your rate. In 10 years at your rate, you'll be at
EV42. Like
200,000 miles. Well, yeah, you wouldn't even have this one. But if you did, it, like, I don't know. I've driven enough Tesla. You know, the same article basically exists for Teslas. Like, oh, my gosh, like, good luck with your $20,000 battery. And it's like, well, I've driven enough Teslas on their original battery with 200, 300,000 miles, and it's fine. It is a little bit less range. That is how a battery works, especially lithium ion chemistry, but it's fine. It still is usable. You're not usually buying a car and thinking like, okay, this is the exact range I need every day. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason why you can charge it to 80 or 90 and be fine. And you don't even charge every night, I'm guessing. It's just like whenever you have to.
Yeah, I charge like twice, maybe once or twice a week. But and I think the only other takeaway is I think it's okay to have an EV and still like ICE. I feel like there's, man, like it's so toxic. It's very, very toxic. Like getting on any like V8 forum or anything, it's like, oh, why the hell would you? And then of course there's always like a derogatory homophobic comment associated with it somewhere or something like that, where it's just like, why would you buy an EV? It's like, no, it's okay to have an EV that fills one need, and then you can have ICE that fills other needs. But people, even like when I first got the EV6, people just thought I was like this EV only fan. Like, I can't, why would you know? Like, I can't live without ICE. Like, how could you even convert? And I was like, I didn't. I just added an EV for, and people are so scared of it, of like, oh, I'm never going to give this up. It's like, nobody's asking you to give it up. But it's okay to like fast performance cars and also like EVs. Like, it'll be okay. Nobody's going to judge you. Well, the internet will judge you, but
people will judge on both sides. And that's basically the takeaway is like, I mean, even in the YouTube world where we live, it's like, no matter what you say in a video, you're going to have one comment saying that's wrong, and then you have a different comment saying the complete opposite and praising you. Yeah. It's like, well, you can't necessarily win. So I usually try to overly encourage, like, just get what's right for you. Like, if someone's like, oh, I road trip 1,000 miles a week and I just can't handle the range, it's like, okay, then get a hybrid. Like, that's still electrified.
Yeah.
If you're just buying an appliance to get you from point A to point B. And I'd love to do more podcasts on like looking at different versions of electrification, because it's not just EV or nothing. For some people, I will recommend hybrids or plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
Or like in our case, it's like, you know what? A gas car and an electric car, awesome. It's like having different pairs of shoes, which makes complete sense.
Yeah. Every day I get to make that choice.
Yeah. The people who think you can't are the people who, I don't know, wear nothing but cowboy boots and then they're annoyed when they run or something. It's like,
I know. And I think that's the point, right? Like, it's, you can buy what works for your lifestyle, but nobody's forcing you to pick either or. Like, it's not that situation. So I don't know, like, I've seen just a lot of that on forums. And I think the other thing that's interesting, I know we're kind of running out of time, is a lot of times when I post something about my EV6, I'll get like a really good angle, and all of a sudden I'll get these comments that'll say, I would never buy an EV, but I would buy this EV. I'm like, so is it a looks thing? Like, are you just not buying an EV because maybe all of them look like EVs, like they're too EV looking? And that's hopefully going to change at some point, where cars stop looking less like EVs and start blending in with normal traffic. But sometimes I'm kind of like, so all it takes is the right good looking car for you to be like, oh, I'd buy that EV. So it's not really the infrastructure or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to get into with that. I mean, even like, I want to do more coverage on the BMW i4. It's like, oh, that doesn't look like an EV. It looks like a gas car, but it's also a gas car that not people don't usually like the looks of. So you can't win. I have a friend who wants to sell his Taycan Cross Turismo wagon for an i4, and I'm like,
that person needs to be sense. That person needs to be smacked around a little bit. How do you get rid of one of the best looking cars in the world?
I know it is a money, like, grant the i4 is faster and better in a lot of ways, and it's like, well, and like half the cost. It's like, that checks out, but it's hard.
Hard, so
I know.
And but if you're not buying an EV because the range doesn't work for you, that's fine. Don't dog all EVs because it doesn't work for you. It works for many other people. So,
Open your mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty enlightening episode and a good place to call the show, I think. Once again, you can find Imad on YouTube, Instagram, even TikTok. Immodifications.
I feel old on TikTok.
I'm glad you finally settled on this name. Your Instagram changed every couple of weeks.
It changed when I bought cars. That's why it changed, because it used to be like sedan, roadster, wagon. And then I got rid of the wagon. Then it was like sedan, roadster, sedan.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, check out his stuff. Check out his EV6 coverage on his own channel. And obviously, check out our road trip because that was a blast. And we had fun making that. And yeah, stay tuned to the Outspec podcast for a lot more stories coming, including hopefully a VinFast update from Francie. She's actually out somewhere. That's why I'm filming this episode instead of her. She's out doing something with the VinFast VF8. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening to this podcast, this Imodcast, and we'll catch you all very soon.
Bye. Thanks again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.